The muzzle flash of the handgun lighted a small area by the door, and Ryan heard the whine of a bullet as it ricocheted off the far wall in a flare of sparks.
Ah! Fire blast!
He hoped that the noise of the shot wouldn't bring some inquisitive sec guard on the run. Now, time was vital. The attacker had to be put away fast. Rick floundered on the floor, becoming tangled up with the body.
Help me, Ryan! There's a dead man down here!
In the passing stillness, Ryan caught the faint sound of a blaster being cocked again. He hurled himself across the building, aiming at where he knew the small blonde man was waiting for him. It wasn't the time for subtlety. The long-bladed Panga made contact. But the feel of the blow was enough to let Ryan know he delivered only a glancing wound. He rolled over on one shoulder in a break fall, coming up in a classic knife fighter's crouch. His lips creased in a mirthless smile. Now he could hear his opponent clearly, less than a dozen feet away. Ryan's night sight was way behind Jack Lawrence, but it was still better than most men's. Now he could see the dark silhouette of the intruder.
Ryan! I'm scared, Ryan! Help me!
Outside, Ryan heard a convoy of large transport wags moving along the road. The lights of the first vehicle shone coldly through the frosted glass, bouncing off the far wall of the workshop, providing enough illumination for Ryan to see the wounded man. He did indeed bear a passing resemblance to Jack Lauren, slight of build with a shock of blonde hair that glowed white in the reflected glow of the wag's headlights. The youth had a narrow, pinched face, with hollow cheekbones and deep-set eyes. He was holding a crudely made zip blaster, not much more than a .22 caliber. It was in his left hand, pointing toward the floor. Dark blood flowed down his right arm, from a deep stab wound near the elbow.
Idiot!
He saw Ryan at the same moment he spoke. He shuffled a couple of steps to his left, away from the one-eyed man with the panga. Rick saw them both at more or less the same time, opening his mouth to yell, then closing it again. Ryan considered throwing the panga, but it was a crude weapon for accuracy. The little gun continued to hang toward the dusty concrete, almost as if the young Russian had completely forgotten that he was holding it.
Нет, друг.
He pointed to himself, trying to convince the terrifying specter that he was a friend, which was a real uphill battle. But the begging tone was unmistakable. Ryan shook his head, smiling gently at the terrified boy.
Нет.
He closed in on Ryan, never taking his eye off the blaster. The noise of the passing line of trucks was almost deafening, and their lights made the interior of the building as bright as day. The blood changed from black to brown to red as the lights hit it, trickling steadily down the youth's forearm, over the wrist, and plopping off the tips of the trembling fingers.
Нет.
No was one of the handful of Russian words that Ryan had learned from Rick. One of the others was yes.
Da.
He opened the Russian's throat with the singing edge of the butcher's knife in a forceful backhanded cut. The gun fell, bouncing off the young man's foot so that it landed almost soundlessly. Ryan moved back quickly to avoid being dappled by the spray of blood that gushed out of the huge gash across the pale throat. A voice from near the door broke the stillness in the room, rising above the noise of the passing wags.
Knew you were a mean son of a bitch, Ryan.
Good to see you, JB. And you, Jack. Good to see you both.
Rick stood up, very unsteadily, on his feet.
I'll second that, Ryan. I'll second.
Oh. And he fainted.
So that's the situation we got here. Rick's heading west. Only a matter of a few days at best.
JB glanced across to where Ginsburg now lay sleeping quietly. The fainting spell had evolved into another spasmodic fit, with Rick's fingers clenching, his arms and legs jerking convulsively. The three of them had managed to hold him still and tried to make him relax. Rick had been seized by a frightening attack of coughing and choking, as though he weren't able to swallow properly, something that Ryan figured was probably another aspect of the muscular illness running its course.
You reckon he's closing in to the last round?
Yeah. Needs help walking more than about 100 yards.
Stay a wag?
Sure. It'll take firepower. Three of us might pull it off.
Ryan glanced across the empty room, past the two corpses to the window. Dawn was lightening the sky.
Not now. Tonight. Don't like the waiting. The Ruskies know we're around the Ville. Longer we stay, the better chance they got of finding us. Good tracker might find us.
Must be ways of stealing food around a Ville like this.
Patrols everywhere. Gangs of murderous kids. It's hard, JB. Very hard.
You got food and drink? Need for getting out.
Try this evening. There's a market spread out around the top of a big flight of steps. Must date way back before Skydark. Hundreds of stairs. Market closes at dusk. Reckon I could get in there and try and buy us something when they're all ready to close up. Any Sekhmet around would be relaxing then.
Buy?
Yeah, got us some local jack. Whole area's on triple alert. Could be easier to buy than steal. We'll know in a couple of hours.
And on the road in a few hours more.
As Ryan had good knowledge of the maze of side streets and alleys around the building, it was agreed that he should go out alone to buy the provisions they'd need. The day wore on with a slug-footed weariness. At Ryan's suggestion, they posted a watch in case the two dead thieves had friends. While not keeping guard, the others slept most of the day. JB spoke to Ryan about the risks of staying in the dacha and the problems they'd been having in stealing food. He also mentioned the sec patrols that they'd seen as they made their way through the outskirts of the ville.
Someone's pushing in some plugs around the place.
Remember that Rusky back in the snow?
Sure. Pock face, mustache. A stocky guy, well-muscled. Carried a Makarov PM blaster. His name was...
Zimyanyan.
Yeah. Captain in their sec regs. Looked a good man to have on your side, from what I recall.
I got a feeling he's not on our side this time around.
You've seen him? Here, in the ville?
Yeah. Long way from home, isn't he?
Thousands of miles. You sure it was him you saw? I mean...
Sure enough. And if it was him, it could be he remembers us. They must have dozens of sightings of us. Me and Christy. If you see us, you remember us. Know what I mean?
Zimyanyan opened the window of his office, leaned out into the late afternoon sunshine, and drew several deep breaths. Having Tracker Aliyev in the same room was a test for anyone's stomach. Though the officer had known the diminutive Mongolian for several years, he had never managed to get used to the stench of rotting flesh that seemed to cling to him. At least he could now look him in what remained of his face without wincing and turning away. Aliyev was very sensitive about his looks, and was easily offended by any insult. There was obviously a strong Muti strain somewhere in the background of his breeding stock. That accounted for the fact that he'd been born with no lower jaw and no nose. He habitually had a scarf wrapped around what was left of his mouth, though the material was always ragged and sodden with stinking threads of green mucus. Aliyev couldn't speak, but Zimyanyan had learned how to communicate with him, managing to interpret his snuffles and grunts.
So, there was nothing left for you to track? The fools had run around and trampled any sign of the Americans?
Aliyev nodded vigorously, his slant eyes fixed on Zimyanyan's face.
Well, don't worry, my old friend.
He steeled himself to move close enough to pat the man on the shoulder.
They must eat. Our young wolf packs are all on double red watch.
The tracker clapped his gloved hands together. Zimyanyan knew he was indicating enthusiasm.
We'll be there fast, Tracker Aliyev, you and me. And then we'll see. Yes, they have to eat. Someplace, sometime.
The day was nearly done. Despite the intensive blanket nuking of the center of Moscow, a few cherished remains of the old Kremlin still stood. The smaller dome of the Archangel Cathedral glittered in the distance, its silver roof tinted crimson by the sinking sun. Ryan had slipped out the door of the abandoned workshop,